Good morning, church family from the Hollies.
Good morning, everyone, from Terry and Wilma Flanagan.
Good morning, church family from the Millers.
Morning, church family.
Good morning, church family from the Lads.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning, church family from Campbell.
Good morning, church family from Sharon and Paul.
Good morning, church family from the Homesteads.
Hello, church family from the Billsboroughs.
Good morning, church family
from the Hennessys.
Hello, church family.
Hi, church family.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Hamlin Road Baptist morning worship here. And I've been thinking about some words that are new in our vocabulary. We're thinking about things like lockdown, new words like social distancing. And if you're a teacher, you'll be very, very familiar with the word remote learning. And as we think about those words and think about our current situation, it came to me that when we sing this song that we're about to sing, we're always in the main church. And it mentions God's presence, the presence of the Lord being with us. So wherever you are this morning, in your living room, your kitchen, your bathroom, your garden shed or your garage, God is with you. He is not remote. He is not socially distancing from you. He is with you. Let's sing.
We bow down.
Be honest, who was scared when they saw that spider on the screen? I'm sure there's parents and kids out there screaming and freaking when they saw that. But we're not going to stay in this picture for much longer, but today I thought about fear. We all have some type of fear in our lives. And at the minute in the world, we're all scared about this thing here, this virus which is going around the world. And that got me thinking, what should we do when we're scared and when we have fear? What should we do? So it made me think of a story from the Bible, which you're going to look at today. Well, our story begins one day when Jesus had just finished talking to all the people on the shore. He decided, you know what, I'm really tired. I'm going to get away from the people for a while. So he got on the boat with his disciples and headed off across the lake. And as he was on the boat, he fell asleep. And I'm sure the disciples talked to each other about all the things they'd seen that day, how Jesus had healed people, how Jesus had told them how to get to heaven, how Jesus had told us how to treat people. And as they were standing there on the boat talking to each other, the clouds started to get dark and a storm came. It started to blow wind all over the place and lightning was flashing, and the waves, they started to get higher and higher and higher and crash into the boat. And I'm sure the disciples were really scared about what was happening. And as they were there, they were throwing the water out of the boat, but nothing was helping. And they looked around and they saw that Jesus was still sleeping on the boat. How could Jesus be sleeping at a time like this? Doesn't he care about us? But the disciples went over to Jesus and they woke him up, and Jesus stood up. And the disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, do you not care? We're in the middle of a storm here, we're going to die. And Jesus looked around him and he went, shh, be still, be calm. And the waves died down and the dark clouds rolled away, and it was a lovely peaceful day again. And the disciples looked at each other and they thought to themselves, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? You know, the disciples eventually did the right thing. They were scared on the boat, but they had someone on the boat who could help them, and that was Jesus. And the Bible tells us that we should not be anxious about anything, so anything that worries you, stresses you out, but we should bring it to God in prayer. Pray about everything that worries you. So this week, as we look at the news around us, or there's something in your life that is worrying you, take it to God in prayer, and be bold and be strong for God.
So it's great to have Philip Muir with us this morning, and Philip was the best associate pastor Hamilton Road Baptist has ever had, and it's great to have him join us from France this morning. So Philip, just for those who don't know, you just tell us a little bit about your family and how they're all doing in these days of lockdown.
Yeah, so when we were last members of Hamilton Road Baptist Church, there was me, Rachel, Julia, Anna and Abigail, the three girls. Julia was 5 when we left, and Anna was 4 and Abigail was 2, and so we left in 2006 and then came to France. I came to be a pastor in Lagny, just outside Paris. And since then, we've been joined by Theo and Zoe. Theo's 10 and Zoe is 7. Julia's now at university, she's 19, Anna's 17, Abigail's 15. And everybody is back home. So we've got a semi-detached house in the outskirts of Paris, where we're all together very happily, enjoying the family benefits of confinement.
So tell us about the church in Lagny and in the surrounding areas there.
Good, yeah. So I came to pastor Lagny, as you know, in 2006. And then we started planting other churches. And now I'm currently working with the Val d'Europe Church, which is one of the churches we planted. And so since lockdown, we've been really doing very well in terms of our church community. We do live broadcasts on Sunday morning. I know you guys record, for example, being recorded on a Wednesday afternoon. But I still have to say good morning, isn't that right, Keith?
Yes.
But we do it live, so it's a little bit more chaotic maybe, but that's the route we've gone down. We've got really good participation in that, and people are turning up for that. And then we're trying out this Saturday evening, so it'll be last night for you guys on Sunday morning. We will just have had our evangelism, virtual evangelism night, and we hope that'll go well.
How are things in Europe, and how can we pray for the church in Europe in these days?
Yeah, so about 5 or 6 years ago, I got involved with a movement called Acts 29, which is a church planting movement or network. It's got, I think, 700 churches across the world now, and about 80 of those are in Europe, and I'm the Europe director for Acts 29. So it really involves mobilising people for thinking through church planting, training church planters, and helping people train church planters, train church members to be part of church planting teams. You might have heard of Church in Hard Places with Nez McConnell. He's part of Acts 29, and so we work together in that as well. So those are great things to be doing, but it's harder to do that. For example, to plant a church virtually is virtually impossible. So you really need to be able to gather together to get in touch with people, especially in Europe. I would say we're less than 1% of most countries are evangelical, and so there's not really a big internet presence or a big presence in the media or in the mindset of the people about Christianity. And so you really need to be on the ground meeting people in order for that to be happening effectively. But it's really, really encouraging overall to see the church planting efforts going on in Europe and how God is working through Acts 29 to help make that happen.
That's great, Philip. And then just finally, how can we pray for you as a family and then your church planting?
And in terms of the mission of the church, we are hoping to be able to employ a pastor, a full-time pastor for the Valley Hope Church from September. At the minute, I'm full-time with Acts 29, but still the lead elder in the eldership team. So that's quite a lot of work. And obviously it means that things in church don't get done the way they would get done if you had a Johnny McLaughlin running around. Being active. Can I just say how grateful we are to have a Hamilton Baptist Church for everything in every way. You hold a very special place in our hearts. We don't get to see you half as much as we'd like. And so perhaps one of the results of this confinement and this lockdown will be a renewed commitment to get back to Northern Ireland more regularly and to visit our friends and supporters in Hamilton Road more regularly. We would love that.
That would be great.
Dear Father, we dare to pray this day that your name may be exalted throughout the earth, and that many might come to know the splendour of your salvation. We pray for all those from this church who are serving you across the nations and continents of the world, and we remember those whom we support in partnership and giving. We think of our own continent of Europe and pray for our sister churches throughout Ireland. Remember Shane Dean and the Fellowship in Passage West, and may their testimony be a beacon of hope in their local community. We continue to remember the work of our friends in Spain, where COVID-19 has claimed the lives of so many. Protect them and their families, and may the college in Barcelona continue to equip men and women for ministry throughout that nation. We remember Philip and Rachel Moore and their family based in Paris, but seeking to reach many lands with the gospel through the ministry of Acts 29. We ask that the lands that once lay at the heart of Christendom will own your own name again. We would lift North Africa and the Middle East before you today. In this season of Ramadan, we ask that the true nature of Jesus Christ may be made known to many. We particularly remember friends working there and the indigenous churches in those countries. We think too of the work that is known to us in Uganda, at the Chiogo Hospital, amongst the street children of Kampala, and through Abana's ministry to many. Dear God, you know the extent of poverty and need in that country and also in neighbouring lands. We pray for agencies such as Tear Fund that bring aid in the name of Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit use all such ministries to alleviate suffering and bring many to a knowledge of the Saviour. We remember the college with which we partner in Myanmar, and their outreach to the Rakhine people. May they find ways to minister even in these days of quarantine. We pray for the book ministry of CEF and ACEW, and especially for our friends Terry and Wilma. We thank you for how that ministry has been used widely throughout Asia, and we ask that their books and other resources will be a blessing to many in these days of restriction. We also remember Gary and all those involved in book ministries closer to home. Turning to the Americas, we ask your blessing upon Baptist missions in Peru as they continue their radio and college work. We pray too for Rhys Loftus as he seeks your guidance for his future, whether in Canada or elsewhere. Finally, Lord, we give thanks for our partnership with those working at sea. Remember Peter Carrigan and all those with him on board Logos Hope in these days when so many of their plans have had to be changed. We pray for Sam Cowan and his colleagues in the Seamen's Christian Friends Society. Even though they are unable to board ships as freely as before, may the video and other links they are now using bring hope and comfort to seafarers on many vessels. Dear God, your holy word says that with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. We ask that you will build your kingdom and that we each might play our part. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. Reading this morning is taken from Acts 10, verses 34 to 48. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him.
We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God.
Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Do you believe that the good news about Jesus Christ is available to you? Do you believe that the good news about Jesus Christ is available to you? Regardless of your background, regardless of your heritage, regardless of your race, regardless of your ethnicity, do you deep down really believe that the good news about Jesus Christ is available to you? Well, that's the question that confronts us as we have been reading and now study Acts chapter 10. Because Peter, who is one of the disciples who's become an apostle now of the Lord Jesus Christ, is part of this out of control locomotive that is going to the ends of the earth. But Peter, one of the inner three, the rock of the church, has to be confronted from a Gentile that the good news about Jesus Christ is available to a people from every tribe and tongue and nation and language. Peter in Acts chapter 10 needs to be confronted with this amazing news that God's good news through Jesus Christ is available to a people from all around the world. You could say it's a global gospel. Cornelius in Acts 10 gets a vision, and then he goes and confronts Peter, who has also had a vision. And so we see the outworkings of that as Peter goes to preach to many Gentiles. There's been a number of what you could call Pentecost in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, there's the Jerusalem Pentecost. Then in Acts chapter 8, there's what you could say the Samaritan Pentecost. And now here in Acts chapter 10, there's the Gentile Pentecost. And in this chapter, we're going to see that the good news about Jesus Christ, it's a global gospel. It's got to go out to a people from all around the world. But a number of things we need to consider in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Firstly, the good news must go global. Firstly, the good news must go global. Look at verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality." God has no favourites. It says that in the book of Deuteronomy. But this doesn't mean that everybody who has ever lived in the entire world and in the history of the world is going to become a Christian. No, what Peter is saying is that he realises now that the good news about Jesus Christ, that he has died for sinners, is now available to anyone who would believe, not just for the Jews. You see, the Jewish people had become, well, they were becoming very individualistic. They believed in their own tribe and their own nation and believed themselves very special because God spoke to them first. But what many of the Jews didn't realize that their father Abraham, when he was blessed by God, God speaks to Abraham and said, through you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Some of the Jews have forgotten that part, that a Messiah would come from the Israelite family nation. But from him, he would go and bless the nations. This is a global gospel. It's not just for favorite nations, it's for all who would believe. But he writes, but in every nation who fears him and does what is right and acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all. If you were to spend some time in the Old Testament, which is the first two thirds of the Bible, you will find that all of the laws and all of the prophetic literature are all pointing to Jesus Christ. That through this nation Israel, its Messiah would be born. And that he would offer faith and repentance and forgiveness of sins to you and me seated in our living rooms today. Really what Peter is saying at the beginning of this sermon is that the gospel is for all who would believe. For me, for you, if we place our faith and our trust in Christ, it's available. For us, it's all about what you do with Jesus. And this is how Peter explains it to the Gentiles. We, sitting many hundreds of years after this event, don't realize just how radical this message was. The Jew and the Gentile loathed and hated one another. And for Peter, of Jewish descent, to be standing in Gentile territory and saying that the God of Israel had sent his one and only son, Jesus, and his life and his death and his resurrection is now available to despised Gentiles. You yourself might say, well, I feel despised. I feel dirty. I feel broken. I feel as if God could never love me. Well, I believe Dr. Luke records this sermon of Peter for people like you, for people like me, with a past that we'd love to get rid of, but that can only be paid for or redeemed through the blood of Jesus. You see, Peter wants the people on this day to understand it's all about what you do with Jesus. You see, this good news needs to go global. He says, verse 37, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed. And it's amazing. Some of you don't know the story, but let me explain it to you. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. He came before Jesus would come to earth and begin his preaching ministry. And one day, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming up over the hill, and he proclaims the fact that the good news about Jesus will go to the ends of the earth. He says, behold, in John 1, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Even before Jesus began his 3-year earthly ministry, from around the age of 30 to 33, John the Baptist declares that the good news about Jesus will go global. It's not just for the nation of Israel. Peter continues in his sermon how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Do you see that this good news about Jesus must go around the globe? Dr. Luke writes the book of Luke and he writes the book of Acts, which we're reading today. The two of them fit together. And in the first account that he wrote for Theophilus, he tells us that the birth of Jesus was good news. The angels declared, "This is good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. A saviour has been born, he's Christ the Lord." Jesus himself, as he preached in Luke chapter 4 in the synagogue, he said that he had come to bring good news. And then as the women returned from the tomb that Jesus had been laid in, they brought good news that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Can I say to you today, this world that we're living in, well, it's full of bad news at the moment. Jesus is great news. To respond to the love of Jesus and his global call to the ends of the earth is wonderfully good news. Secondly, the good news offers you and me forgiveness of sins. This good news offers you and me forgiveness of sins. Peter continues in his sermon. And we are witnesses of all that Jesus did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Peter saying, "I saw those healed of disease. I saw demons being cast out of people. I even saw Jesus raise people from the dead. I saw him as he was arrested in the garden. And I saw him as he appeared to me by the Sea of Galilee. And he met with me by a charcoal fire and restored even someone like me, Peter, a failure, restored me to ministry." He said, "We are eyewitnesses. We can prove it to be true because we ourselves saw Jesus." Well, what did they do with Jesus? Well, Peter says they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Peter is saying to this Gentile audience, who Jews were meant to hear, here is Peter, a Jew who's been saved by Jesus Christ, saying, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. And he offers you and me forgiveness of our sin. You say, well, prove it to me, Johnny. Well, Peter said, here's the reason that he sent people like me as an apostle. And he commanded, Jesus commanded me to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge, to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, these are big verses. There's a judgment coming. There will be a day when you close your eyes in this world and you will open them in the next. And what you do with Jesus Christ will decide if you go to heaven or you go to hell. But if you believe in Jesus, this Peter who's preaching about Jesus says, if you believe in this Jesus, you can experience forgiveness of your sins. Imagine this. All of your life up until this point today, totally cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't remove many of the consequences of our sin. But imagine that Jesus would cleanse you of your sin and give you new life and a new start if you repent of your rebellion against his holy and righteous love. Are you ready for this day of judgment? For the Christian, the day of judgment is a happy day because through Christ we will enter into the glories of all eternity and into the joy and the splendor of the happiness of seeing Jesus face to face, with the absence of sin and the absence of sorrow and the absence of suffering, with no more viruses or anxiety, because we will be with Jesus. This is the good news of the global gospel. It must go across the globe, but in its content is the forgiveness of sin. But lastly, this global gospel, it empowers people for ministry. It must go to the ends of the earth. It offers us forgiveness of sin. But for the Christian today, if you are a Christian, it's to empower us for ministry. We are to carry on this way of passing on the gospel from one generation to the next. Consider what Peter says then in verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to remain some days. If you're a Christian, Jesus promised you two things. He promised you his presence, and he promised you his power. How do we know this? Well, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus gives his great commission to his disciples. And he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, you must go and make disciples of all nations across the globe, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you until the very end of the age." There's his presence. Today, if you're a Christian, you have been caught up in this global gospel, and you have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you also have his power. And this power was displayed here in our third point as the Holy Spirit descends on these Gentile believers and what you could say was the Gentile Pentecost. And they receive power. This power was promised to us at the beginning of Acts again by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." Christian, today, you've been empowered for ministry through the presence of Christ and the power of God the Holy Spirit. Today, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, come to Christ today, receive his forgiveness, and become part of this global family that will last long beyond these days that we find ourselves in today, but will last for all eternity. Let's respond now as we sing about the love of the Lord Jesus.
Every failing, I am his Lord. can I say a big thank you to everybody who has taken part this morning and to you for tuning in. We hope that you are encouraged and challenged by this word to be on mission, by God's global mission. Can I encourage you this week, if you're a Hamilton Road regular, to join us on Wednesday night on Zoom as we seek to pray together as a church after praying in smaller groups and growth groups as elders and deacons in women's routines. Join us this Wednesday as we pray at 8 p.m. There'll be details of that in your inbox already. If you haven't got those, do get in touch and we look forward to praying together. Let's just close our broadcast in prayer. Father, thank you for your gospel that has gone to the corners of the earth, even to where each of us are seated this morning in Northern Ireland, the island of Ireland, the UK, and across the world as we all tune in. Father, thank you that somebody brought the gospel to us. Father, I pray that in these days that we will be able to take the gospel to somebody else, across a fence, across a town, or across the world. Would you show us each our role to play in your great mission? We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.